chapter 18 this morning. Luke chapter 18. I do want to encourage you with that the risk nowhere compares to the reward when it comes to giving to offerings like the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Every dime that goes to that goes to the foreign mission field to support individuals and families who are there so that people might know Jesus. What greater cause to give to? And so I just want to thank you. I know our faith family gives faithfully to offerings like the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. So I want to say thank you. Thank you for taking part in this great kingdom cause. I also want to encourage you this morning to remember the I believe it's 19 of us who will be traveling back from Tennessee this afternoon. Our students, many of our students have gone to Winter Extreme Conference, and so this morning be thinking about them, if you will, pray for them. I look forward, as I know you do, to hearing all about what God has done this weekend. These weekends are so great for our students as they get to go and just sit and bathe in the Word as they hear it preached and sang. And so I hope that you've already been praying for them. But this morning, as we pray, would we pray for them as they drive back this afternoon? They may have some time to process what they've heard and seen. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll dive in to Luke chapter 18 this morning. Father, Lord, we've never been more aware that this is a spiritual work. Father God, as we've even seen this morning, spiritual warfare take place in our midst. But Father God, we celebrate, we rejoice, because we don't lose. Lord, we win in Jesus. In Christ, we have victory. There is no force, no presence, no spiritual realm that can stand against the authoritative name and voice of Jesus. And so, Lord, today we celebrate, we sing. Lord, we also yield our hearts and lives to you. Lord, because our voice is no match for yours either. And so, God, I pray that today you would speak loudly and clearly, and that you would give us ears to hear, eyes to see. Lord, I pray for our students today as they come back. Lord, I pray that you've done a wonderful work in them. Lord, we thank you for the leaders that we have there. Lord, I pray that today you would bless your word, speak fresh. Would it be your gospel and your power for your glory, in Christ's name? Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 18. This morning we're going to handle a relatively short passage, verses 18 through 33. As you know, I'm going to say it one more time because I get to. Merry Christmas, and today, Happy New Year. A new year comes with opportunity. It comes with an opportunity for change. All across our nation tomorrow, and tonight people are planning for it, but all across our nation, people will be making what's called resolutions. Y'all know anything about resolution? I've been working on the weight loss one for about 7 years now, right? All across the nation, people are going to be making New Year's resolutions. They're going to be resolving to lose weight, to save money, to spend more time with family or away from family. Others will say that they may tweet it or post it on Facebook or say to a neighbor, a new year, a new me. Yes, a new year, changing our calendars from one year to the other, seemingly offers a chance for change. Some of us here today may be desperate, longing for some change, an opportunity for things to be different. That's the kind of man we see in Luke chapter 18, verses 35 through 43, a man longing for change. We see a man in desperate need of a new chapter. Imagine that at your birth, or soon after your birth, you could see nothing. You were born, or early in life became blind. And because of your blindness, you were told that there was little hope of living a fulfilling life. There was no modern medicine to heal you, and there were no real ways of coping. Those ways of coping have not yet been developed. Because of your sickness, because of your blindness, you'd been pushed out by those who were closest to you. You'd been shunned by your community. People would ask questions like, is he blind because of his sins or the sins of his mom and dad? Imagine because of your blindness, you couldn't raise a family or work a job, a career. And so you come to the point of standing on a road and begging just so that you might eat. I imagine, as we imagine, we would all be longing for some change. Amen. Well, that's the exact circumstance that we see here this morning in Luke chapter 18. And so this morning, let's read verse 35. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind beggar was sitting beside the road. When he heard the noise of a crowd going past, he asked what was happening. So just imagine you're there every day, blind and begging for anything that might help you live a better life. And all of a sudden you hear a commotion off in the distance. And you're wondering, because you can't look up and see what's coming. You ask those around you, hey, what's happening? What's going on? Verse 37, they told him that Jesus the Nazarene was going by. And so he began shouting, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Be quiet, the people in front yelled at him. But he only shouted louder, Son of David, have mercy on me. When Jesus heard him, he stopped and ordered that the man be brought to him. As the man came near, Jesus asked, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, he said, I want to see. And Jesus said, all right, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Instantly, the man could see, and he followed Jesus, praising God. And all who saw it praised God too. This morning, if I had to give a title for this passage, it would simply be, Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. From this passage, I would just like to give two observations and end with a question. The first observation being a disease of darkness. In verses 35 and 36, we see a man who was born or early in his life fell to a disease of darkness. It said that he was a blind beggar sitting by the roadside. This man, especially in this culture, had a debilitating disease. A disease of darkness. A disease that had hijacked his life. A disease that took his life and his dreams hostage. A disease of darkness. This man in this culture had little hope of living his life to the fullest. This disease of darkness affected everything, every part of his life. Can you imagine that? In this culture, no modern medicines, no ways of coping with blindness. Imagine how many parts of your life that touches. It would touch every part of your life. His relationships. We see here his ability to hold a job. Yes, this man, born blind, was experiencing a disease of darkness. But you know, and I stood before a youth group and told them this on Wednesday night, that we're all born blind. Amen? I think some of you have already picked up on where I'm going with this. Yes, this man, having a debilitating disease of darkness, a disease that hijacked his life, he took his life hostage, every area of his life was affected by his relationships, his job, his dreams, everything affected by his darkness. We have the same problem. We've all been born blind. We've all been born with the disease of darkness. You say, Seth, what are you talking about? I see just fine. I use glasses, or I don't even have contacts. I don't know what your vision is like, but the Bible is clear. We've all been born blind. We've all been born into darkness. Ephesians 5:8, the Apostle Paul writes, once you were full of darkness. A more literal translation of that simply says, you were darkness. Once, but because of sin, you were full of darkness. We see it in Genesis 3 and explained in Romans 5:12 and then in 1 Corinthians that because of Adam's sin, darkness, death has entered in. Through one man, sin, darkness, and death entered the world. And because of that, all of us forever are born blinded by sin. In Romans 3, Paul writes it pretty simply, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Our sin blinds us from the gracious glory of God. You say, "Seth, I get that. We watch the news and we see all the things that happen in our world and away from us. Well, I know him over there or she over there. I've heard about what she's been up to." This morning, your darkness would be called self-righteousness. We have all been born blind. We've all been born into darkness, all born into sin. And just because our darkness looks different from the one sitting beside us doesn't mean our darkness is any better. If you flip over one chapter in Luke chapter 19, Jesus meets a man named Zacchaeus, a terrible tax collector like us, born blind. And Jesus makes his way into Zacchaeus' home. And as he does, there are people standing around outside, saying, he eats with sinners. What did Jesus say? Today salvation comes to this house. Why? Because the people outside were just as blind as Zacchaeus, the tax collector. Yes, we've all been born into darkness. And though our darkness may look different than others, it is still a disease. We are still in this man's situation, desperate for change, whether we know it or not. And so this morning, I would just encourage you to not think more or less of somebody else's sin than you do your own. The Bible would refer to that as hypocrisy, self-righteousness. Today, would we be just as desperate for God to rescue us from our sin as we are for God to change somebody else? We see, yes, a disease of darkness in this man and in ourselves. But the second observation would be a chance for change. A chance for change. You've heard stories from the Bible. You've heard messages from the Bible. So you know that the message of the Bible does not end with bad news. There is good news. As there was a disease of darkness, there's also a chance for change. We see that in verses 36 through 42 as Jesus comes by. This man, this blind man, this man born into a disease of darkness, had probably tried everything. Imagine his parents as he's born, and they quickly realize that he does not have any clue about what is going on around him. He's been born blind. Their son's been born blind. Imagine all the things that they try to do to fix it. Remember, in this culture, he would be seen unclean because of this disease. And so you can imagine their pride itself thinking or taking them to extremes to go places and get it fixed so people wouldn't think less of their son or of them. This man had probably been put through the ringer, having everything tried on him and then becoming an adult and trying everything else. He'd probably been drugged into synagogues to be prayed over. He had probably gone through excruciating pain, experiencing the medicines of that day. I'm sure many old wives' tales had been experimented on this man, maybe even visiting a witch doctor, trying to find something that would offer him a chance for change. Still years later, we find him in Luke chapter 18, blind and begging, desperate for something that would make his sight right. And finally, one day, Jesus passes by. Remember verse 36, he hears a noise and he asks what's happening. They tell him Jesus the Nazarene. And in verse 38, we see his expression. So he began shouting, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." "Be quiet," the people in front yelled at him, but he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." This man, trying everything, I'm sure, had heard about Jesus. going town to town, healing people, making those who had never walked walk, telling people that were dead that they couldn't be dead anymore. I'm sure he had heard, and so at the sound of his name, he begins to passionately cry out. There was a moment of hope, a chance for change. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Oh, believer, do you remember the day that you cried out, Jesus? Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Those around him feeling awkward and out of place, as you can imagine. This caused quite a scene. Hey, be quiet. But he couldn't be shh. Son of David, have mercy on me. Yes, this man had probably tried everything. Everything had been tried on him, but Jesus comes by and he cannot be restrained. He hears of Jesus and he cries out in faith. The reality is that some of you here today have tried seemingly everything, but it has not worked. You've got a hole in your heart. You've got a disease of darkness, and you've tried to fill the hole. You've tried to pry your own eyes open, but for some reason, you just can't see right. Well, something that we have in common, another thing that we have in common with this man, is that Jesus is our only hope of ever seeing right, of ever being made well. Jesus is our, would you know this morning, whether you've been saved for 8 minutes or 80 years, that Jesus is still your only hope. Jesus is still the only difference between being blind and being able to see. We never get over our need for Jesus making us well. So today, whether you've been saved or not been saved, we still need to be ever crying out to Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And would you know, like this man, there will be some people who try to shh you. There will be some people who are made uncomfortable by your crying out for Jesus. There will be some people who it just doesn't sit right with your passion for Christ. But would you still ever, whether it is in desperation or in praise, would you sing, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy out on me. Yes, we've all been born with a disease of darkness. But through the passing by of Jesus, we've all been given a chance for change, an opportunity for things to be different. The lame can walk, the blind can see, the dumb can speak, the addict can be free, those who are ridden with grief can have joy. But the only hope is Jesus passing by and us crying out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. You notice what this man doesn't have. We talked a little about it in Sunday school this morning. Notice what this man doesn't have. And that's too much pride to cry out. This morning, would our pride not exceed our perceived need of Jesus? Amen. This morning, would our need for Jesus overwhelm our pride? A lot of us think that we can fix it ourselves. This man might have thought, nah, I'll go try one more thing and then I'll go try to find Jesus if that doesn't work. This morning, would you know that Jesus is your only hope? Would we not say, I'll try a little bit longer? I'll do something else. No, would we cry out with the blind man who can now see in Luke chapter 18, oh, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Would you notice he couldn't be restrained? his pursuit of Jesus would not be hindered by the criticism of others. We preachers over the years have felt the need to try to conjure people out of their seats to an altar. Because of the revivalist movement, we've been told that we've got to work on people's emotions and make the temperature in the room just right so that people might come forward. We've been taught in our schools that we've got to make people bow their head and close their eyes so that people won't feel uncomfortable if raising their hands because they want to place their faith in Jesus. Would you know that in a crowded place, blind and begging, this man said above the crowd, "I need Jesus." I believe that's what being born again looks like. A moving of the Spirit that can't be stopped by the fear of man. Today, if that's you, if the Holy Spirit is working on your heart, would you know that Jesus is worthy of crying out? Yes, a chance for change moved this man to cry out to Jesus. And what does Jesus say? In verse 42, he says, "All right, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Instantly, the man could see. This man was born blind. His only hope is Jesus. Every person in this room has been born blind, and our only hope is Jesus. But before we close out, I want to ask you a question this morning. And this question, I feel like the Holy Spirit really laid on my heart as I read verse 43. I've asked you to imagine a few times that you were born blind. Imagine this. You're born blind. Imagine. You're born blind, never seen a thing, never seen the light of day. But one day you meet Jesus and everything changes. You can see for the first time in your life. For the first time in your life, your sight is made right. What's the first thing that you want to see? What's the first thing that you're going to look at? What's the first thing you're going to run to? Imagine all the things that this man had heard about seeing all his life. Imagine. He's never seen the beaches. He's heard about the beaches. He's never seen the trees change colors in the fall. He's never seen the peaks of the mountain. He's never seen the rainfall. He's heard it, but he's never seen it. He's never laid his eyes on a woman. Imagine all the things running through his mind. I want to see this, I want to see that, I want to see this. And imagine you're in that situation. What's the first thing that you're going to look at? Well, this man had that choice to make. And we see the choice that he made in verse 43. It says, instantly, in a moment, literally in the twinkling of an eye, the man could see. And he followed Jesus, praising God. And all who saw it praised God too. This man, never seeing a sight in his life, has the option to run and see anything that he wants to see. And what does he choose to look at? He chooses to look at, for the rest of his life, the numbers on the back of Jesus' jersey. Never being able to see before, can see anything that he wants to. In a moment, he says, "All I want to see is Jesus. I'll even walk behind him. I think it's safe to say that the change that happened in Luke chapter 18, verses 35 through 43, is a real change. Amen. This morning, tomorrow morning, we celebrate the new year. Church, if we want our sight to be right in the new year, if we really want an opportunity for change, a chance for change, this is the oomph of this morning. Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. There were all kinds of distractions. Can you imagine his friend pulling on his arm? Yeah, you know that thing I've always told you about? Let's go look at it. And he says, no, I'm busy looking at Jesus. Just because this man had been made to see doesn't mean that all his other problems went away. He could have went and tried to get them sorted out, but no, he said, no, I'm too busy looking at Jesus. In this new year, there will be lots of things that seek to distract us. There is an enemy who wants us to, who wants you to continue to live in darkness. Frustrated and depressed as ever. But would you know your only chance for change, your only hope of your sight being made right is to cast your eyes on Jesus. This morning, would we look at Jesus? This man knew that no sight compared to the glorious grace of the one who gave him sight. In that is an invitation to come and see. This morning you say, Seth, I've never been able to see. My life is a mess and I've tried everything and I don't know how to make it right. Today, would you look at Jesus? I remember up there in that sanctuary 10 years ago this December, the first time I ever saw Jesus crucified for my sin. It was like I was there before the cross. Today, would you know that if you trust in the finished work of Jesus, his death on the cross and his resurrection out of the grave, that you can be saved. You can see right today. And today, maybe you're a believer and you are frustrated, you are upset, your joy is gone. The last little bit just hasn't gone the way you thought it would. Today, would you put those things aside and say, I'm too busy looking at Jesus? We talked about this unity in Sunday school this morning. It is almost impossible to be caught up looking at other people's sins when we're busy looking at Jesus. And would you know today that this world has nothing, absolutely nothing, that is sweeter than the sight of Jesus? Look at him. Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. Father God, I pray that today we would look at Jesus. Lord, that you would give us sight, that we would realize that you are our only hope. And as much as anybody else is in need of healing, we are in need of healing. Lord, would you make us well? Would you give us sight? And like this man, would we spend the rest of our life looking at you? Life is going to be tough. It might get hot. It might get cold. But let us be busy looking at Jesus. Holy Spirit, would you work in our midst today, drawing our eyes to yourself? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Church, would you stand? We're going to sing.